Okay, we're going to be in the book of Acts again this morning, and the last time we looked at the book of Acts, we spent some time on verse 11 and 12, 13, 14, and primarily where the Lord was taken up out of their sight, and the two in white came and said, "Why gaze you up into heaven? This same Jesus that was taken up from you in the cloud was going to come in like manner," and a real promise to God's people that the same one that they had been with, that had taught them, that opened their eyes, that the same one is going to return himself, and that there was things to do besides wonder about him leaving, and keeping that in mind, but that they had some things to do that was left them to do, and that they gathered together in Jerusalem, as it said there. It says in verse 13 and 14, and they continued in prayer and supplication, and they had together Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And so there's a time period between when the Lord was taken up and the time that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was going to come upon them, about 10 days there till Pentecost, that they were in prayer, and they weren't just wringing their hands. They were in prayer about these things to God that they knew were in the works and were going to take place, the Holy Spirit coming. So I'd like to look at verses 15 and following, but in verse 15 of Acts chapter 1, in verse 15 and 16, it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." And a couple of things that the ones gathered together, it says about 120 that were there with them in this time period between Jesus ascending up into heaven and the whole promise of the Holy Ghost was to come at Pentecost. And it's 120 like-minded believers that understood a few things, and that they had seen the Lord and been with him. And it said they'd been with these had numbered with them from the time of the baptism of John until he ascended, and were with him all that time period, and had those things in common, and weren't just lately taggers on or what have you, but these are ones that had seen the Lord himself and had been witness of these things, and of the miracles, of the things that he taught them, that other than when he had the 12 of them alone with him, and or individuals, there was quite a gathering that they were in the midst of. And it says in verse 16, it says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." And we'll look at a couple of places in the Psalms that he's referring to, but something that's interesting here that Peter said, and he says, "This scripture must needs have been fulfilled." Excuse me. And concerning Judas in particular, but all the scripture that they had and that we can hold and open and read must needs be fulfilled. Some of it, a lot of it, has been fulfilled in time, but all of the scripture that the prophets and those of God delivered to men over time must needs have been and must needs be fulfilled. And there are much to be fulfilled yet, but as far as time goes, until the Lord come again. But it said this was something that had to be fulfilled. There was a purpose to this, and God, being the head over His church, determined all things, and this was one of those things that had to be determined and was determined and must have been fulfilled. And as surely as He had to go to Calvary and be the sacrifice for His people, this was indeed foretold. And I'd like to look at a couple of places that He is referring to in the Psalms. Two of them that are pretty good, extensive passages speaking to this. We're going to look at parts of them, but in Psalm 69, and it speaks of the Lord Himself and those things that were to take place in different verse and version than in Isaiah 53, but similar. It talks about those things, and I'd like to look in Psalm 69. Starting with verse 21 and reading down a bit, and this is what part of what Peter's referring to, the two Psalms. They gave me also, Psalm 69, 21, also gall for my meat and my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not. Make their loins continue to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. And then turn over to Psalm 109. Psalm 109 and... Let's back up to verse 1 of Psalm 109 and down a few verses. It says, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayers. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. And these two things that Peter is referring to about Judas and the scriptures that this would take place, and that there was going to be one that would betray the Lord Himself and be guide to them that would take him and take him to crucify him for His people. And this, as he said, this must have been fulfilled. This part must be fulfilled. And so as they move on, there's more that to be fulfilled. And verse 17 and down a few, it says, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue Keldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric let another take. And so as he says this was, and he said he was numbered with us, and he indeed was numbered with them, and had part of the ministry as far as being physically there with them. And but it talks about, and we're going to look at a couple of verses, the end of Judas and Potter's first field, but he had part with them. He was numbered with them, as it says, but there was no grace in it for him. There was no part of that he had in Christ or what he taught or what he had for his people, and his name was not in the, and it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. That of that we can be pretty sure. We're going to look at a couple of verses here in Matthew 27. Turn to Matthew, book of Matthew, verse 27, or chapter 27, rather. Matthew chapter 27. Starting with verse 3 of Matthew 27. It says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them in the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.'" Tells of his end, and tells of his hanging himself, of what would take place, and that they did take that money and buy a field for it that was to bury those indigent ones in. And then back up to chapter 27. Chapter 27 of Matthew, and starting with verse 47. It talks about before that of the Lord's betrayal. And in verse 47, it says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, 'Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast.' And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Master,' and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, 'Friend, wherefore art thou come?' Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, 'Put up thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Particularly here, as Peter said later, as we see in Acts, Peter said, and as Christ says here, that these things were done, that the scriptures must be fulfilled. And when the Lord was speaking to them and before and said what was going to happen to them, they said, no, we won't let that happen. And again, as then and here, he said, all these things must, the scriptures must be fulfilled. There's no going back or shortcutting or not fulfilling the scriptures. And that must have done that way for our benefit. And for the church's benefit, that these be done this way, as it says here in Matthew 26. John chapter 6, please. Turn with me to John chapter 6. And a couple of things pertinent to this spot we're here. And these are things we know and have read and have seen. But this is, I think, an appropriate time to bring a couple of these things out. John chapter 6, starting with verse 70. Last couple of verses. And here it says, Peter's answering and said, and as he answers for the many times for the church and what they did not have any place to go but the Lord. In verse 69 actually says, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12, and that he had that part. He was numbered with the 12 and physically, and he had an appointed purpose. He had a purpose that was determined and appointed of God, that he would be the one that indeed did and betray the Lord himself. In verse 25 of Acts chapter 1, we'll get to that in a minute, but verse 25 says they were looking to see which one would replace him that we'll look at, and it says that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And remember that thought, but that he was part of the ministry and apostleship. He was in amongst them in the physical way. And again, as I said, his part of that, there was no grace to in Judas being part of the 12. He had no part of it in that way, in a spiritual way. There was no part of it. And he was appointed for that purpose as a betrayer, and he was not with them in part of that ministry in that regard, in the spiritual regard, only physically to do that purpose. Now this, in going back into Acts chapter 1, so this had to take place. We know it had to take place. The Lord said it. The prophets said it from way back when. We have the Lord's sacrifice and being the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That we have record of from very early in the book of Genesis, very early and on down through. Other places where it's alluded to that he would be betrayed, and then in so many words it says that. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 21, it says, wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness of with us of his resurrection. And it says here, there are those that in time past thought and have a different opinion whether this should have been done or not, how it was done, or whether he should have been replaced or whatnot. It says here in the scriptures that we read, it says in verse 22, it says that one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. I don't think those were filler words that the author that penned the Acts, I don't think there was some filler pages or words here, just like the rest of Scripture. It must be, it was ordained that he would be replaced. And it, as it says, it must, one must be done that. And from all the time that the Lord went out and with them, in and out, and was with them, one of those must be the one that had witness of these things, that was going to be witness of his resurrection, of the Lord himself, and to be numbered with the 12. And and it says they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. A couple of things that casting lots before the Lord to do. This was not the first time that had taken place. That was something that the Lord had others do in time past. That was how the scapegoat was chosen by lot. And some other things that we had, that was how they were picked. So that being said, both that scapegoat and anything else that was chosen by lot, or Matthias chosen by lot, that lot didn't just randomly come up. It wasn't flipping a coin and sitting back and see how it may land of its own accord. God had Matthias. He was chosen out beforehand. That particular goat that was taken, that was specifically picked. That lot fell on him because of God's hand doing that. It wasn't just one as good as the other. There was purpose to all that, and purpose that Matthias was indeed picked. That it says, "Thou that knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." And the lot fell on Matthias, as it said. That, and they were recognizing that was not just a flip of the coin. One is as good as the other. Maybe in their sight, it was so, but not only unto God, Matthias is the one that was to pick that spot out and be witness and preach and witness of the resurrection of the Lord himself with the group. A couple of places. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, just for a minute. Samuel chapter 16. You probably know where we're headed here with this. Two verses out of chapter 16. Oops. Let me get to chapter 16. Okay, chapter 16. This is, we're going to decide here who's going to be king to be anointed. Samuel's going to, he's coming to pick which of the sons, Jesse, is going to be anointed king. In verse 6 it says, 1 Samuel 16, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And they looked on several others along the way. And then verse 13, same chapter, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And as the account goes, David was the kind of the run of the litter in some regards. He was the youngest one out keeping the sheep. They brought in all the ones that they, boy, these men could carry the job. And God said, that's not how I look on it. And that's not how we look on it. One of the things Robert Hawker said about having this with Judas and then the replacement here, but he said to remind the church ever that the people in the church, all Israel is not of Israel. All of Israel by nation is not all of Israel by heart or by God's people. And we don't often know the difference. And we outwardly, we can't often tell the difference. And then one more spot. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Numbers. And this kind of came to mind, and we'd been in this spot in Numbers. Norm's been bringing messages for some time from the book of Numbers now, and they had all the different things that they had to set up the camp when they were in the wilderness, and the tabernacle, and all the different things that came into play with that, and how they were to set it up, how they were to move it once it's furnished. And I'd like to read Numbers 4, verse 16. Could have been any of these others, but this one in particular. And to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that is therein is, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof. And we had a couple of wonderful messages about God appointing Eleazar to these things, and what they meant, and the importance of that, and that was no one else was given that job or these tasks. He oversaw these tasks and made sure that they were done. It says here that he had pertaining to these things oversight of all the tabernacle. He had a lot of things to take care of, but the point being here is God was the one that appointed Eleazar to those tasks. He was chosen of God. It wasn't just, again, by lot or by, well, what do you want to do? This was God determined and appointed that man to those things. And the same as with Matthias with the 12, God had appointed him to that purpose and to being numbered with them. And it was not just to fill in a blank that they had, or make, you know, three even rows of four or whatever to make up the 12. There was a part missing that was replaced by God to a purpose, and the purpose with the one that was there now was not the same purpose as the one that he replaced. His purpose now that he was put to there was to be a witness of our Lord and Savior, of the resurrection and all those things that meant, and that was appointed of God. This was not just a church matter or church business that was taken care of, but this was an important matter. And whether men may agree with it or not agree with it, the Scripture said it needed to be done, and it was done. And I have a hard time when there an argument may be with plain scripture that is in so many words in black and white, at least, that men will say, well, I don't know if that was really, if some of these things are right. If we have scripture that must be fulfilled, and there's a lot of plain things that we have record of. And as we move along in the book of Acts, it gets past this spot here. God is doing some miraculous things here. The God the Father has been shown forth in time past. God the Son was in their midst and revealed to them that He was God Almighty, and some of the scriptures we have referring to that when He was here on earth. Great works in John and other places that speak of who He is to His people and who He is indeed the eternal God. And the Holy Ghost is going, as the Lord promised Him, the Holy Ghost is going to manifest Himself in ways that hadn't been before. And God's people, the Holy Spirit was always given to God's people. When the new birth takes place at whatever time period from Abel on down, at least, that same Spirit is in God's people and part of God's people, and it's going to happen. But this part had to be taken care of, and those men did indeed recognize, take care of that, and Matthias was chosen of God to, and from that day forward, there was the 12 that were called apostles, but there was quite a group of them that were men that were testifying and doing the same things. They may not have been numbered with the 12, but I'm convinced that those 120 men that were gathered together that were all witnesses of these things, they were witnesses from that time forward. And we're going to see some good things as we look through the book of Acts over time, as God willing. And with that, I'm going to say, as our brother Mike Baker says, the truth shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And the Lord does that for His people. Thank you, and we'll meet again.